Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
Hey everyone, this is Joe Pantozzi with Make Your Wealth Work, our podcast with Alpha Mega Wealth. And I'm here with one of my favorite people, infinite banking practitioners, financial gurus, Curtis May, who is in Philadelphia and has been just doing wonderful work with his clients and his practice. I'm happy to be with you today and hope we can continue to have more of these conversations.
I love it. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, and hopefully I can bring something interesting to the conversation because I'm talking to the expert.
Yeah. So it's going to be one of those, I'm patting you in the back and you're patting me on the back. It's nice to be in a room with people that you like and enjoy working together with. So here, I'm going to share a quote from a news article I saw this morning, and it was with reference to Kamala Harris speaking to the Economic Club in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is close to my heart because I go and see the Penguins play my beloved Vegas Golden Knights hockey every once in a while in Pittsburgh. Okay. So Kamala Harris said, "The American economy is the most powerful force for innovation and wealth creation in human history." And I said, you know, that's a statement that I can kind of grab onto and think about and kind of determine from my own frame of reference whether that's true. Maybe it's more of a result. So I go back to some of our mentors that you and I have worked with over the years. Len Rainier wrote several books. One of his books is called Learning to Avoid Unintended Consequences.
One of my favorites. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so with respect to Vice President Harris, I'm going to say that there's actually a financial engine that drives the economy. There's an engine that produces the economy. So the engine is the cause and the economy is the result. And so what Len Rainier told us, and he said this several years ago at a seminar I attended, maybe 10 years ago, he says, the most powerful financial tool on the face of the planet is a strong, loving family.
Yes, I agree with that.
Right? So the family unit is the engine, right? Everything that I do, I have my family in my heart, right? I want to take care of my family. And because I love my family, I also, you know, I love our clients. I love my friends. I love the people in the community. I mean, we're called to love each other, right? I have this thing, right? All right. If we're not here to love each other and serve each other and respect each other, then why are we here? So thinking about the economy being the result, we need, and the reason why Curtis and I are in business, I think what we do, why we get up every single day, is to help promote the family and to help make families stronger financially. I want to help families thrive. I want to help families wake up to their own need to not be financial servants, but to be financial owners, to be in control of the banking equation. Right? That's what we talk about with regard to the infinite banking concept. And in order for them to be in control, they have to understand who's in control now, and it's not us. Right?
Right. I mean, I always tell people, because, you know, money's a result of creating value in the marketplace. And I show a thing called your personal economic model. And I tell people, look, everybody has a personal economy. Like, you can't control the economy at large, but you can control your personal economy, which is your production and consumption as a family unit. That's why it's the most important thing. So you have a finite amount of money that's going to flow through your personal economy over your lifetime, but you have to be a good steward of those resources. And most of the time, we give most of that money away to people that, to quote Len, to create the situations, control the outcomes so that they profit. Right. And so Nelson, we used to say, if you know what's going on, you'll know what to do. And most people don't know what's going on. They're chasing investments, but 35% of their income is leaving their household in the form of debt to others, right? So, and 30% to taxes, right? And then it may not to go political because I'm biting my tongue, but like half the country wants to vote for somebody that told you they want to raise their taxes, you know, like it's a good thing. I mean, like, seriously? And because do you understand that the Revolutionary War was a tax revolt? Taxes were unconstitutional, right? So I think people forgot their history. And then, you know, they'll say that, but they don't understand. They just see the economy as the strongest engine, but it's a result of what? Of policies, of a philosophy, of a philosophy of ownership, of being able to control your personal economy, to be able to own private property, to be able to engage in commerce. And that, you know, so it didn't just come out of nowhere. Oh, and help the middle class. So where the middle class came from, a rich person raising people's salary, Henry Ford, right? Mm. So, you know, don't get me started because that you done got me triggered.
Listen, we got on this call today to get you started and it's perfectly fine. You know, people say, well, I want someone to be objective. I'm doing my research. I don't want to have a bias. You know what? If you don't have a bias, you don't have a pulse. Everybody has a bias toward something, right? You may not have an opinion about how photosynthesis works, but you're happy, like I'm looking at my tomato plants outside. I'm happy that they actually turn red and we can put them in a salad. I don't care how it works. I know that it does work. But here now, when we come back to money, and you made reference to it a minute ago, you have a third of your economy, personal economy, going out to lenders. And most Americans think that that's normal. There's nothing I can do about it. Well, everything in your personal economy has to do with the choices that you make, right? So, and I always reference, you know, just this broad example of if you made, for example, $100,000 last year, and at the end of the year, on December 31st, you look back and how much did you put away for yourself? I don't care where you put it. How much did you put away for yourself? Well, I saved, $5,000. Okay. Then you gave away 95% of your economy and you kept 5. Is that what you're worth? You know, what are you worth? Are you worthy of a pay raise? Are you worthy of putting yourself at the top of your creditor list? You know, and I say this all the time, probably people get bored hearing it. My wife and I got together in 1988 and we said, yeah, after God, right? God gets the top 10%, right? After that, we are going to put ourselves at the top of our economy. I am, and the Pantozzi family is the number one creditor of our list. And I said to Evie, we will pay ourselves first, no matter what. We're short on money. They turn our power off. They'll turn it back on. We'll pay the bill. We'll get it turned back on. Now, by the grace of God, I've never had my power turned off, but I'm just making a point and saying my priority is putting money into our family banking system first. Our family banking system sounds like it's elaborate or sophisticated or fancy, right? Our family banking system is us. Nelson's book is The Infinite Banking Concept. And the concept starts in your head and it stays in your head. And it's all about the way you think. So when I look back, if I made that $100,000 and I saved $5,000, I have to go back and review, why are all those outsiders worthy of receiving 95% of my money? So I really worked for them 95% of the time, and I worked for myself 5% of the time. I could look at my credit card. I always keep this on hand as one of my used, you know, American Express cards. Once I got a new one, I had to punch holes in the old one because this is a platinum card and it's metal, right? But I love what it actually pictures. You need to have these credit cards have their place in your life, which is no place at all. You know, they need to be in a drawer. If you use one, you pay it off at the end of the month. And I'm not talking just to people who receive a paycheck for a living. I'm talking about people who are business owners, who also have hearts, and people who own businesses and have employees. If they're like me, they put their employees first. My employees' paychecks have never bounced. I've never been late making payroll. Now, there have been many, many, many weeks over that period of time where I didn't take a paycheck, right? But the idea and the reason why we're financial coaches is we want to encourage people, number one, to look in the mirror and say, you are worthy. You are worthy to keep, pick a number, 20%, 30% of what you made last year. Now, somebody might look at this and say, are you crazy? 20%, 30%, I can't even imagine. I have too many debts. Well, you have debts because you made choices. All right, I'll take a breath and let you go.
No, I do that. I kind of try to do that. I'll say, look, I want you saving. And sometimes I look at, all right, because there's, to me, there's stages of IBC. So a lot of people I start with, can you save 15, 20% or more of your gross revenue, right? Just as a, so you can, like, if you can live on 80%, and I want you to correct me because we have a mutual friend, I'll say this too, is like, no, you know, premium income should equal. So, you know, I think I'm a little bit behind mentally. So I'm happy to be coached live on this call. And but what happens is I'm looking at who I work with. Look, listen, a lot of people, I just got off the phone with somebody and I'm literally going through this person's cash flow. Like, you know, if you can't spend less than you make, we can't do nothing else, right? You have to get control of your personal economy. So I'm like, all right, y'all make $185,000 a year. You don't even save 5%. You know, where's your money going? So so a lot of times I gotta throw you on the operating table and stop the bleeding, right? You know, you got like leaks that are coming out and you don't have any engine, you know, money in debt and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think that, you know, a lot of times we need to look at what do you want? Like, I always start with, it's like a GPS. Where do you want to go? And what is that? That's what you've got to know. What do you want that you're willing to fight for? I think, you know, I want to become financially free. Well, do you wake up with burning in your stomach that I want to become financially free? I don't want anybody to be able to put their fingers on me and squeeze me. Like, freedom is a real strong motivating force for me because we call it in our business getting to a position of FU, right? So, which is passive income, twice expenses, right? And so you got to be like, this is a clip from the movie The Gambler with John Goodman that just gives me goosebumps every time I hear it. And it's basically about that. Like, you want to be able to could be in control of your life. And so part of that is taking control of the banking function, but everything of your cash flow. You want to be autonomous. You want to be able to, what Dan Sullivan calls it. You want to go from, this is what I talk to people about. You want to go from economic childhood to economic adulthood. Right.
That's cool that you just mentioned Dan Sullivan, because his name was on the tip of my tongue, because when you referred to that kind of money, I was thinking about Dan Sullivan when he says you should have multiple savings accounts, at least conceptually. You don't necessarily need to go to the bank and set up 10 savings accounts, but let's be realistic, right? When you need money for vacation, where do you get it? Well, you know, I put it on a credit card and then I come back and I pay it off. Fine. That's not a bad idea. About 10 years ago, we had the privilege of going to the Emeritus Summit conference in Rome, Italy. And I said to Evie, this is our first time in Italy and we're not going to go to Rome for 5 days. We're going to go to Rome for 5 days and then we're going to spend 6 more days in Florence and 7 more days in Venice. And 7 more days in Sorrento. And I don't know how the numbers add up, but it was about 3.5, almost 4 weeks in Italy. Now, in order to do that, there had to be capital, right? Nelson says you finance everything you buy. You either pay interest to somebody else when you borrow their money, or you give up the interest you could have earned when you pay cash. So what we did was we took a loan against values in our policies. And I said to my wife, I said, I don't care how much it is, because when we come back, we're going to pay the loan back that we're taking against our own banking values, our own family bank's value, family banking system's values.
Right.
We came back, we paid those loans off So, and it's not literally true, but at the end of the day, if you borrowed from yourself, you borrowed from your own banking system, backed up by life insurance policies, and you pay that back to the insurance company, which has a lien in your policies. We don't need to go into the technical details of how this works, but we went to Italy. We stayed at 5-star hotels for just under a month, and I never had to ask, I wonder if this is going to break my bank. Didn't break my bank because I already had the capital built up. See, and I wanted to get to this point today. You know, we talk about family banking system. We talk about the infinite banking concept. We talk about creating and controlling the banking equation as it applies to your life. And those are a lot of words that you and I throw around all day long, and we're comfortable with them. You know, we're like a lifeguard in the ocean. We're not afraid of the big waves, right? We're not afraid of those words. But here's what it comes down to for me. You mentioned freedom. And freedom is connected to control. If you don't have control, you don't have freedom. And now from a financial standpoint, if you don't have a repository, let's be fancy that, let's go back and say, if you don't have capital, you don't have control, because the people who have the capital control your life. What if you own the capital? Who's got control? We're back to where the control should be. The control should be in your hands, in your mind, in your heart, in your family. You control that capital. Well, gee, that's not practical. Not practical. How much money have you made in the last 20 years, 30 years? How much money have you made since you're 15 years old and started working, or whatever age? Look at that number, right? That money has to reside somewhere, Nelson Nash said, right? So you've made a choice that 90% or 95% and many, many people's lives, 100% of your money is residing in somebody else's bank.
110.
And you know what we're really, you know what we're really saying? I trust them more with my money than I trust myself. I'm not a psychologist, but I've met some.
A lot of people do. I mean, you know, when you look at, like, if you look at marketing around, like, in the investment world, it's basically all their marketing says in so many words, give your money to us, yes. Right? And you don't have the time, the temperament, or the training to personally manage your own funds. So give it to us. Let us.
Don't try this at home.
Right. Don't try. You know, let us watch your money for the next 20, 30 years. Let us charge you fees for the next 30 years. Let us let you put up 100% of the money, take 100% of the risk to maybe make 30% of the profits, if there's any profits at all, right? Now, that's not me, because Curtis don't have no original thoughts, right? That's Jack Bogle from Vanguard. That's from the, I'm paraphrasing, yes. So y'all can do fact check on me, but the battle for the soul of capitalism, right? And so it's that. So we're not saying not do that, but you know, you need access to capital, because there's other ways to skin a cat outside the market. There's, because most of us give most of our money away. So if you look at, like, I did the same thing. We went to, with Emerita, we went to Scotland, right? So I took all of our kids there. So we went early, right? So we spent a week and about 4 days in London. Then we went to Scotland. We stayed in St. Andrews. I let my kids stay in Edinburgh for a week by themselves. They were like 22, 20 and 12, right? 13, maybe she just turned 13. No, she was 12. She just turned 11. She just turned 12 for a week. They had a great time. And so I wasn't worried about my kids, because they're mature and they're all very bossy. So I, you know, and so they have a hierarchy. Lauren, bossy.
Can't imagine why.
Jade is bossy. But so if Jade's by herself, then she's bossy, because we went to Spain. Jade had been living in Europe for 5 years. So we went to France. She'd been living, studying abroad in France, and so we took the family over there. Well, my policies funded that, you know. My policies paid for her visa, you know. My policies paid for it. Oh, Dad, I want to go to Europe with my friends, you know, with my best friend, and spend 2 weeks in Paris and go to Spain and this and that. Okay, well, I got a policy on you. We're going to self-finance. I mean, so it's a lifestyle, right? You know, because even if you put on a credit card to get the points, when you get back, yep, then your bank, quote unquote, needs to buy the debt back from Visa. And then if you're going to be willing to pay them 23%, you need to be an honest banker and recapitalize your system at the same rate and don't Correct. Pay wholesale. Correct. Don't steal the keys, so to speak.
So let's go back, because I'm very big on hammering the basics. Mm-hmm. Okay. And when we talk about our prize treasure that we share with people, you know, we talk about the infinite banking concept, and very often people will confuse, because sometimes our own advisors and agents confuse the idea and say, well, the infinite banking concept is going to help you. Well, actually we have to go before that and say, you need to change your thinking.
Yeah.
Right. The first thing you need to do is come to the realization that you are worth it and that you should start building up capital. Now, can you manage your own private family banking system using a savings account? Absolutely. Using a CD? Absolutely. Using any kind of a market instrument? Absolutely. Using gold and silver? Yes. Using crypto? Yes. Is it cumbersome? Is it the most efficient? No. But I'm saying you need to rethink your thinking. I mean, this is all coming from our mentor, Nelson Nash. You need to rethink your thinking. Right? Job one is you need to build up capital, right? I think one of the biggest problems I see in Americans is that they're looking at the ads from all these different financial companies, from financial planners whose job it is, they think, to manage your money for you, like you were referencing, Curtis. I'm going to manage your money for you for a fee. Well, what I believe we do as financial coaches is we're putting the emphasis on education. I want to teach you how and why you should be managing your money by yourself. Because you, if you can perfect that process, that lifestyle, that methodology, that belief system, you're going to have now something greater than dollars to transmit to your kids. So this is going to be the real generational wealth that you hand to your children. Your children are going to know why they have $1 million in their inheritance account, or pick a number, because they understand the wisdom. They possess the wisdom to manage and steward that money. And it goes back to the parents. The parents can only leave to the kids what the parents have perfected for themselves, which is the wisdom, which is the thinking, which is the lifestyle, which is the belief system, which is the philosophy, right? And too many people are putting the how in first place and say, well,
kids don't know how. They get some money, they're going to blow it. You know, because like with Rich Dad Poor Dad, the whole title of Rich Dad Poor Dad is Rich Dad Poor Dad: Would Wealthy People Teach Their Kids That the More Poor and Middle Class Do Not? Right. And so when you look at, you know, people, what was that book? What would the Rockefellers do? Or they hear about, there's another one called Family Fortunes. And so what's common is that all of these families have a system of family governance, right? So they talk about, you know, semi-annually correlate, get together. They talk about it. Kim Butler's book, The Perpetual Wealth, does a good job of breaking down how to use the policies and have family meetings and that kind of stuff. And so we use these textbooks to kind of, because it's becoming what? Your own banker, right? Not doing what Joe and Curtis tell you to do, because, you know, I take the premise is that you're smart. Okay. And right. 2 + 2 right. is 4, right? And it's not that complicated. It's not standard deviation, blah, blah, blah. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah. And so this is not that deep. Spend less than you make, pay yourself first, make your goal multiply, make a home a profitable investment. Like, all I do is teach chapter 2 of The Rich Man Babylon, really. It's really that simple, right? Because there's principles at work, and principles don't change. Principles are biblical. Principles are thousands of years old. And if so even infinite banking is a process, but it's a process of you becoming a good steward of your resources, right? And so the product whole life is how we facilitate you becoming a good money manager, you becoming a good banker, you becoming a prudent investor. I was telling this young girl yesterday, she's like, yeah, she was making money. Your family's always coming at you with for borrowing money. I says, okay, listen, loan them money, tell them you're going to charge them 12%. I want these payments at 6 months and I want security. And if you default, I'm going to take your butt to court. See how often they come back and ask you that stuff. Unless you plan on making a gift, this is business, right? And that's part of being a good banker. You got to respect your money.
That's a good point. You know, when I lent my daughter the money for her first car, I laid that out for her very clearly. And I said, you can go to the finance company and you can finance the car yourself because you're working, you have credit, you're fine. And the bank will tell you how much your payment's going to be. The bank will tell you what your interest rate's going to be. And at the end of the day, you're going to have a car that's depreciating and the bank's going to have all the money. Now, you could also finance your car through the Pantozzi Family Banking System or the Pantozzi Family Fund, which is what we call ours, right? And I said, the difference is I will probably charge you as high or higher rate than the bank's going to charge you. But at the end of the day, the bank's going to be in our system. The money's going to be in our system, which probably, possibly, if you play your cards right, may wind up as part of your inheritance.
Right.
Right. But one of the key issues is you're going to be able to set your own payment. You tell me what you want your payment to be, and I'll tell you what your schedule is. Based on your payment, I'll tell you how long you have to pay, and I'll tell you what your rate's going to be. And let me tell you something. Number one, you are not allowed to be late. Number two, do not hand me the money. You make arrangements with my sales director to get that money to the insurance company, which is going to go back and remove the lien from the values I have in my policy. And you know what? Until the day that she got married, she was never late on a payment. Because I, like you said, I had set out the parameters for her. This is a business transaction. And just Curtis just said it. You as a parent need to decide whether this is a loan or a gift. If it's a gift, well, then don't expect it back. And if it's a loan, don't treat it like it's a gift. Right? Let's treat this like a business transaction, which is what it is, so that your kids can learn, so that they can become responsible adults. Right? You mentioned biblical, and I love my Las Vegas verse, 7:11, Ecclesiastes 7:11, right? It says, wisdom is good with an inheritance. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. How many people do you know either plan to or have left their kids money? And they left him no book of instruction, no user's manual. And how often have the kids blown through the money? And I'm not talking half of it. I'm talking 100% of it before 3 years goes by.
Hey, guys. Hope you enjoyed part one of this episode. It's just too good to limit to one show. Join us next week to hear the rest.
This is thepodcastfactory.com. Thank you.